Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It seems like it feels more like summertime now with the afternoon showers than it did actually during August and summertime. Hot and humid today, highs in 90, 20% chance for afternoon showers. They're saying less of a chance for rain through the weekend with highs near 90 and a little bit lower humidity first day of fall on Sunday, but it's not going to feel like that, nor will it through Wednesday. There's some weather down in the Caribbean they're watching, but I don't think any of it's expected to affect us at all next week. Greg McBride joins us, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate, to talk about the Fed and what they decided to do. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm okay. I think a lot of people, I would say back, you know, maybe 10 years ago, nobody knew who the chairman of the Federal Reserve was. Nobody was watching this as closely as they are. I don't know if a lot of people that are watching it as closely as they are really understand what's going on. So that's why you're here, to help us all understand it. Tell me, first of all, who it was that cut the interest rate yesterday.
Well, the central bank, which is the Federal Reserve, and the specific committee is called the Federal Open Market Committee. They are the ones that make the decisions on what is effectively the price of money. Interest rates are kind of an accelerator or a brake on the economy. Raise it in order to slow the economy, like when inflation was really high. Reduce it whenever you don't want to slow the economy, or when you want to give the economy a little bit of juice.
How did they get, just for context, Greg, how did they get put in charge of this? How did this whole system develop?
It's been around for 100 years, so that was kind of before my time. But
Well, let's hope so.
So it came about as a result of legislation, but, you know, also there was, you know, some bank panics and things like that, that in the early part of the 1900s. That really precipitated that. So, you know, it really came about right around the middle or end of World War One.
So I try to make this understandable for people. So let's say, you know, we're on a little car rides at Disney World, and sometimes you think you're driving, but you're really not, because the thing's being steered from underneath. How in control are they of the economy, and how important are their actions?
Well, I wouldn't characterize it as control of the economy as much as just sort of setting conditions that are conducive to economic growth, sustainable economic growth over time. They've got what's called a dual mandate, basically full employment and price stability. So their job is to set the conditions that are consistent with keeping inflation low and keeping unemployment, near full employment, basically keeping unemployment low as well. And when things happen, external shocks that kind of throw that out of whack, then they've got to take action, in an effort to change the course, the price of money, if you will, in order to get things back on that track.
And just so people understand, it's not a power plant where they have gauges that are there with real-time measurements and to the nth degree accurate information. They're trying to forecast the future, read the tea leaves of the past, and come to a happy medium, accurate or not?
They are trying to, forecast and come to the happy medium. But, I mean, they've got 400 PhD economists. They've got access to every bit of data that you can imagine, business contacts, so that they can get a real-time read of what's happening on the ground. So, you know, it's not just, you know, lick your finger and
I realize that. I'm just saying that, you know, if you get 400 economists in a room, chances are you'll get 200 opinions. Accurate?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what they did then. So yesterday they announced that they were going to cut what by a half a point?
The benchmark Fed funds rate. So, yeah, what that is, think of it as dropping a rock in the middle of a pond and the waves ripple out in every direction. So it's a benchmark interest rate. It's what banks pay to borrow from each other on an overnight basis. But, you know, that's the rock you drop in the middle of the pond. When that price changes, it ripples out in every direction. So it affects consumer, business, even government borrowing rates. It impacts the earnings that you get on savings, other fixed income instruments. And the economic impact is that as rates go up or down, it can either incentivize or disincentivize borrowing and lending, the type of things that contribute to economic activity.
Let's stick with that ripple in a pond, the pebble in a pond, I guess, metaphor, if you will, or analogy. And when we come back, we'll go with the time frame on that and who it's likely as those ripples spread out to affect and what it means to, say, a person trying to buy a home, a person that has a car, a person that has a lot of credit card debt, or people that do have a lot of money, a lot of investments, et cetera. And we'll take the look at the overall look at what happened yesterday after the Fed decided to cut the rates by a half a point. And then we'll also talk about historic significance of this, because it seems like it was a pretty big cut compared to historically what they've done. We're talking to Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. The Fed decided on a half a point interest rate cut. But what does that mean to all of us? We'll continue the conversation when we come back. Tommy Tucker, 620 Traffic Now, WWL.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, 623, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Somebody texted in and said, where's the tax break? Where can we see it? What you're talking about is gibberish. Well, we're not talking about a tax break, just to be clear. That's why I tried to take it slow with Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. We're talking about an interest rate cut, not a tax rate cut. That being said, let's talk about the pebble in the pond, Greg. And before we get to that, I guess let's talk about the size of the cut itself. Can you infer anything from that they went a full half point?
You kind of led into this, as you know, going to the break about how that's a little uncharacteristic, and mm-hmm. it is. But I actually take a little bit of assurance from it.
Okay.
First of all, interest rates were at a more than 20-year high. So you know, the larger magnitude of rate cut is coming off of, you know, a 20-plus year high. But I think even more importantly is it tells me they've learned a lesson. You know, the Fed really did a poor job of the last cycle. They were late to recognize that inflation was a problem. They were kind of in denial about it for a while, late to recognize the problem, late to do anything about it. And then when they finally did, they started with baby steps. And so they were hopelessly behind the curve, and it just took them a long time to catch up. And they ended up having to raise rates at the fastest pace in 40 years to get inflation under control. So they really had egg on their face. So taking the bigger cut right out of the gate this time around, it tells me they've learned their lesson. And what it does, I don't think it signifies anything concerning necessarily about the economy as much as it's just taking out a bit of insurance against being behind the curve again. You don't want to be they don't want to be in the position where they're chasing a weakening labor market. And that's the really open-ended question now is, okay, the labor market's softening, but just how much? And we're going to get two more monthly job reports between now and when the Federal Reserve meets again in November. So I think doing the larger cut now just buys them a little bit of insurance in the event that either or both of those employment reports the next 2 months are on the weak side.
So when it comes to, you're talking about inflation, I get, you know, what well, first of all, if when you talk about interest rates and mortgage lending, unless you have, you can refinance if you want, right? I mean, how quickly does it take for a cut like this to get to lending institutions where people will be incentivized to refinance, and what kind of lower rate can they look for?
It impacts different products differently. Mortgages is a great example. That's one that actually moves well in advance because mortgages are much longer term in nature. And so that's the good news. We've actually seen mortgage rates come down a full percentage point just since May. They're down almost 2 percentage points since hitting 8% last October. So anybody who's bought a home in the last couple of years, they're either in or really close to that refinancing zone. There's pretty tangible savings to be had there. And so that's certainly good news. It hasn't really jump-started the housing market yet just because prices are still so high and the inventory of homes available for sale is really limited. And there's not an overnight fix for either of those. But the mortgage rates coming down pretty sharply, that's a start. Those other consumer borrowing products, things like credit cards, car loans, home equity lines of credit, we'll see those coming down over the next few months. I'd also say this is not a one-hit wonder. The Fed's going to continue to cut rates through the balance of this year, much or all of next year. So we're going to see a trend of rates going lower. That credit card, home equity line of credit, probably take 2 or 3 cycles before you see that lower rate show up. But if you think of taking a skyscraper from the ground floor to the 55th floor, if you come down to the 50th floor, the view's not a whole lot different. You got to come down a lot more before, the view really starts to look different. And that's kind of where we are with interest rates. This first half point move, you're not really going to notice it in terms of your finance charges or monthly payments. But as the cumulative effect builds, as the Federal Reserve continues to cut rates, 6-12 months from now, you'll look back and you'll be like, oh, yeah, this looks a lot different than it did in 2024.
So when it comes to inflation and what people pay at the grocery store, et cetera, because I think that's how most people or a lot of people look at inflation and gauge it, how does this interest rate cut eventually affect that?
It doesn't affect prices per se. And also I think that inflation and price levels are kind of two different things, right? Mm-hmm. When we say inflation's come down, that doesn't mean prices have come down. It just means they're not going up as fast. Prices are still really, really high. And that is not going to change. Prices are going to stay high. So that's why, even though inflation of grocery prices has really moderated, it's been almost flat on a year-over-year basis, nobody's walking out of the supermarket feeling like they got a bargain because mm-hmm. prices are still so much higher than they were just a few years ago. So prices are going to stay high. They just won't be going up as fast. And, the balancing act is that they want to cut interest rates at a pace that's not so fast that it lets the inflation genie back out of the bottle, but also not so slow that labor market slows more because, that creates bigger economic problems if we start to see job losses mount and slower economic activity.
Real quick, less than a minute left. What about auto loans? How does that affect car loans?
Well, car loan rates will come down, but, the impact of 0.5-point cut is pretty minimal. I mean, if you're looking at a $35,000 loan, it's $8 a month, right, at a time when people are taking $700 a month payments. So going to take a cumulative effect. I think 6-12 months from now, you look and you'll see that it does have a meaningful impact on monthly payments.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate. I will add that tomorrow morning at 7:45, we'll help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. I know he's going to want to weigh in on this as well. We'll talk to Mike Strain. We come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Chris Miller. All right, 6:45, quarter till 7, Thursday morning. Time to talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Agriculture of Forestry, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Dr. Strain?
Man, I'm doing very, very well. I've been traveling through the state pretty hard. I was in Alexandria yesterday, went all up through Point Coupee and through row crop country, and took a good look at the sugar cane there and the soybeans and everything. Harvest is going well. Post-storm, as soon as the winds died down, we were up in the air and taking a look at the sugar cane. That's mostly what has been affected. We've been getting the weather's been okay. We've had some pretty good weather, of course, with a little bit of rain. And we think that sugar cane is trying real hard to stand back up. I've been working with the LSU Ag Center. Dr. Matt Lee was visiting with him yesterday, and also Mr. Gaspard that is there with GOSEP. So we're going to have our accountants, our enumerators out there looking at the crops, getting the information, putting all that together, and getting those reports so we know exactly what we're dealing with.
When will you know, Mike, if it's going to come back or not?
Oh, it's going to come back. The question is how much. But the other part is there was significant flooding. It was a big flood event. Much more so overall with insurance and everything else than a wind event. And the flooding issue is that we have the what we call the plant cane that was just planted, this month. Mm-hmm. And when that's underwater, for a period of days, then that dies. And the big key is for us to get an understanding of how much plant cane is affected, because that's going to affect next year's crop. And that's where a lot of the real hard loss will be. Overall, generally, when you start looking at the net effect, it will be post-harvest. So we really won't know, to the ton of sugar until probably the second week of January when harvest is over. We have an idea as we're harvesting those fields, what the yield is coming up, the tons per acre of the cane, and then we can do the extrapolations. But everything totally with the number of parishes involved, we'll have that information be January. But we'll have some idea because the next several weeks will really determine, the cane. Plus, the other issue that we have to analyze is that when the cane is laid down like that, it takes longer to harvest. In other words, machines have to go slower, and the whole thing really depends on good weather, sunshine, and just drying up so those machines can move to those fields efficiently. And, of course, we can harvest more cane, and then we'll know. So it costs more money to harvest when the cane is down, and then there will be some loss of sugar in those affected areas.
What kind of damage did you see from Francine for other crops or other areas, Mike?
We didn't see a tremendous amount. There wasn't a lot of buildings down, grain bins down. And one of the things, a lot of areas where they had all these trees that were dead, that all the pine needles, it blew all the pine needles out, blew down a lot of tops out of the trees. There are a number of trees that are down. But when you start looking at the soybeans, one of the things is that rain, where it kind of cut through into the Florida parishes, it did cause some damage to the soybeans, and that's being analyzed. But the other part is that when that storm moved, it did not, and I'll go up to the row crop country north of Point Coupee. So when you get into Point Coupee, it caught, kind of the tail end of that and did cause some problems there in Point Coupee. But it did not get up into, Bastrop, up into East and West Carroll and all those other areas where we are at harvest time, for corn and beans and cotton, and really beans and cotton. And we were spared that when it turned and went into Mississippi. So the storm could have been a whole lot worse. But, of course, if you're directly affected, and you're flooded and you've got wind damage, that's as bad as it gets.
What about mosquitoes, Mike? How big of a concern is that now?
Very concerned. Generally, 7 to 10 days. I go with, mostly 10 to 14 days post-storm, you see a surge in mosquitoes. So what happens is that you have, one, a lot of excess moisture, a lot of water that is going to kind of hang around, standing water. But also, whenever you have a disruption in the local ecology there, what we call, just that local ecological setting, you can have a surge. And we are concerned that we're going to see that surge starting really today. Mm-hmm. And moving forward over the next few weeks. We've you know, really notified mosquito control. We've talked to the governor's office. Everyone needs to be cognizant. And the other thing is that you can see an uptick in the virus that's there. So everybody is on notice, and we're working on the mosquitoes. And we've seen this in other storms. So everybody needs to be careful, because this year we've seen an uptick in West Nile, Eastern, and St. Louis. Now, mostly up on the East Coast, they've seen a big increase in the encephalitis. But here, you know, it's here, but we all have to be careful. And we tell everybody, number one, make sure your horses are vaccinated. And number two, make sure you protect yourself. And it's, you know, when you go out late in the evening or early in the morning, you need to wear a long sleeve shirt. You need to wear a hat. You need to use mosquito repellent with DEET. And because if not, you know, humans are dealt with for encephalitis by non-exposure. We've vaccinated.
Miller. All right, 6:45, quarter till 7, Thursday morning. Time to talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Agriculture of Forestry, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Dr. Strain?
Man, I'm doing very, very well. I've been traveling through the state pretty hard. I was in Alexandria yesterday, went all up through Point Coupee and through row crop country, and took a good look at the sugar cane there and the soybeans and everything. Harvest is going well. Post-storm, as soon as the winds died down, we were up in the air and taking a look at the sugar cane. That's mostly what has been affected. We've been getting the weather's been okay. You know, we've had some pretty good weather, of course, with a little bit of rain. And we think that sugar cane is trying real hard to stand back up. I've been working with the LSU Ag Center. Dr. Matt Lee was visiting with him yesterday, and also Mr. Gaspard that is there with GOSEP. So we're going to have our accountants, our enumerators out there looking at the crops, getting the information, putting all that together, and getting those reports so we know exactly what we're dealing with.
When will you know, Mike, if it's going to come back or not?
Oh, it's going to come back. The question is how much. But the other part is there was significant flooding. You know, it was a big flood event, much more so overall with insurance and everything else than a wind event. And the flooding issue is that we have the what we call the plant cane that was just planted, you know, this month. Mm-hmm. And when that's underwater, you know, for a period of days, then that dies. And the big key is for us to get an understanding of how much plant cane is affected, because that's going to affect next year's crop. And that's where a lot of the real hard loss will be. Overall, generally, when you start looking at the net effect, it will be post-harvest. So we really won't know, to the ton of sugar until probably the second week of January when harvest is over. We have an idea as we're harvesting those fields, you know, what the yield is coming up, the tons per acre of the cane, and then we can do the extrapolations. But everything totally with the number of parishes involved, we'll have that information be January. But we'll have some idea, because the next several weeks will really determine, the cane. Plus, the other issue that we have to analyze is that when the cane is laid down like that, it takes longer to harvest. In other words, machines have to go slower, and the whole thing really depends on good weather, sunshine, and just drying up so those machines can move to those fields efficiently. And, of course, we can harvest more cane, and then we'll know. So it costs more money to harvest when the cane is down, and then there will be some loss of sugar in those affected areas.
What kind of damage did you see from Francine for other crops or other areas, Mike?
We didn't see a tremendous amount. There wasn't a lot of buildings down, grain bins down. And one of the things, you know, a lot of areas where they had all these trees that were dead, that all the pine needles, it blew all the pine needles out, blew down a lot of tops out of the trees. There are a number of trees that are down. But when you start looking at the soybeans, one of the things is that rain, where it kind of cut through into the Florida parishes, you know, it did cause some damage to the soybeans, and that's being analyzed. But the other part is that when that storm moved, it did not, and I'll go up to the row crop country north of Point Coupee. So when you get into Point Coupee, you know, it caught, you know, kind of the tail end of that and did cause some problems there in Point Coupee. but it did not get up into, you know, Bastrop, up into East and West Carroll and all those other areas where we are at harvest time, you know, for corn and beans and cotton, and really beans and cotton. And we were spared that when it turned and went into Mississippi. So the storm could have been a whole lot worse. But, of course, if you're directly affected, you know, and you're flooded and you've got wind damage, you know, that's as bad as it gets.
What about mosquitoes, Mike? How big of a concern is that now?
Very concerned. Generally, 7 to 10 days. I go with, you know, mostly 10 to 14 days post-storm, you see a surge in mosquitoes. So what happens is that you have, one, a lot of excess moisture, a lot of water, water that is going to kind of hang around, standing water. But also, whenever you have a disruption in the local ecology there, the what we call, you know, just that local ecological setting, you can have a surge. And we are concerned that we're going to see that surge starting really today and moving forward over the next few weeks. We've, you know, really notified mosquito control. We've talked to the governor's office. Everyone needs to be cognizant. And the other thing is that you can see an uptick in the virus that's there. So everybody is on notice, and we're working on the mosquitoes, and we've seen this in other storms. So everybody needs to be careful, because this year we've seen an uptick in West Nile, Eastern, and St. Louis. Now, mostly up on the East Coast, they've seen a big increase in the encephalitis. But here, you know, it's here. But we all have to be careful, and we tell everybody, number one, make sure your horses are vaccinated, and number two, make sure you protect yourself. And it's, you know, when you go out late in the evening or early in the morning, you need to wear a long sleeve shirt, you need to wear a hat, you need to use mosquito repellent with DEET, and because if not, you know, we humans are dealt with for encephalitis by non-exposure. We vaccinate our horses, you know, and we put up fans and that sorts of thing. But we need to be careful, because I think we're going to see a surge in mosquitoes, and we'll be doing testing, blood sample testing, you know, on mosquito pools, as well as testing poultry, and of course, looking at any reports coming in from veterinarians on sick horses.
Well, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Mike Strain, our guest, Dr. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWO. 657, 3 till 7, back with Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, you got a saddle microchipping event coming up, and these saddles can get pretty expensive.
Oh, they're in the thousands of dollars. And look, and when you get a saddle that works for you, that fits you, that you and your horse are comfortable with, you know, it just becomes an extension of you. It's very, very important. And these saddles, again, are very expensive. And so we're doing this on September the 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., free of charge at the LSU Ag Center Lafourche Parish on 115 Texas Street in Raceland, Louisiana. It's saddles. It's open to the public. We do this in combination with the Livestock Brand Commission, the Sheriff's Office, law enforcement, parish cattlemen, and riding clubs. But again, it's free of charge. You just come there with your saddle, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. September 26th, and we will chip your saddle in Raceland, 115 Texas Street at the LSU Ag Center Lafourche Parish Office. It's a good deal.
National Farm Safety and Health Week. What's all that about?
Well, this, you know, we're in prime harvest season, and the history of this, this has been, again, was established by Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1944. And when you're looking at, you know, the statistics, 2022, 417 fatalities, according to data, dealing with farm safety over the years. And so the third week in September is always farm safety. And during the height of harvest, we tell everybody, slow down, be careful. And we say, don't learn safety by accident. Preventable incidents. National Farm Safety Week. Keep it at the front of your mind. Safety. What's going on while you're harvesting and when you're out there on the farm.
Mike, we only got 20 seconds left. How badly was the pecan crop hurt by Francine?
Well, not as bad as you could have. It, you know, it came and caught that part of Point Coupe, but it did not extend across the center of the state. We won't know that yet, but it was, you know, the wind blowing the pecans down. We're going to have to wait till we get actually the count. But I didn't see a tremendous amount of tree damage. but then we won't know that for a little bit of time.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time as always. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We could come back, talk to Glenn Womack, Louisiana State Senator, about a task force that's going to try to get businesses paid more quickly. 657, 3 till 7, back with Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, you got a saddle microchipping event coming up, and these saddles can get pretty expensive.
Oh, they're in the thousands of dollars. And look, when you get a saddle that works for you, that fits you, that mm-hmm. you and your horse are comfortable with, you know, it just becomes an extension of you. It's very, very important. And these saddles, again, are very expensive. And so we're doing this on September the 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., free of charge at the LSU Ag Center Lafourche Parish on 115 Texas Street in Raceland, Louisiana. It's saddles. It's open to the public. We do this in combination with the Livestock Brand Commission, the Sheriff's Office, law enforcement, parish cattlemen, and riding clubs. But again, it's free of charge. You just come there with your saddle, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. September 26th, and we will chip your saddle in Raceland, 115 Texas Street at the LSU Ag Center Lafourche Parish Office. It's a good deal.
National Farm Safety and Health Week. What's all that about?
Well, this, you know, we're in prime harvest season, and the history of this, this has been, again, was established by Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1944. And when you're looking at, you know, the statistics, 2022, 417 fatalities, according to data, dealing with farm safety over the years. And so the third week in September is always farm safety. And during the height of harvest, we tell everybody, slow down, be careful. And we say, don't learn safety by accident. Preventable incidents. National Farm Safety Week. Keep it at the front of your mind. Safety. What's going on while you're harvesting and when you're out there on the farm.
Mike, we only got 20 seconds left. How badly was the pecan crop hurt by Francine?
Well, not as bad as you could have. It, you know, it came and caught that part of Point Coupe, but it did not extend across the center of the state. We won't know that yet, but it was, you know, the wind blowing the pecans down. We're going to have to wait till we get actually the count. But I didn't see a tremendous amount of tree damage, but then we won't know that for a little bit of time.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time as always. Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We could come back, talk to Glenn Womack, Louisiana State Senator, about a task force that's going to try to get businesses paid more quickly.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.